When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
41 seconds to go. Levis approaches the line of scrimmage, takes the snap, takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans get upset by the Tennessee Titans, 32-27, squandering opportunity after opportunity and seeing their record drop to 7-5 with another division matchup with Jacksonville on the road coming up.
It's a disappointing loss for us. We didn't do anything well enough to win this game. Out of all the positives that we did have, there are way too many negatives, right? Too many negative plays, right? We score, we get a penalty, we get touchdowns called back, get penalties on special teams. It's just way too many negative plays defensively, like unexplainable, right? Explosives for touchdowns. It's just, we didn't play good across the board, and that starts with me, obviously, and no, we weren't ready to go as a team, so that starts with me.
It does indeed. Welcome in, everybody, on a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Good to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us, with you for the next couple hours here on Sports Radio 610. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm miserable, Sean. Okay. I'm absolutely miserable. This is, you know why? You know why I'm miserable, especially because this is exactly the kind of game where afterwards somebody that expected the Titans to win can very, very easily say, "Well, what'd you expect?" Because really, every single thing that I worried about going into this game, where I said, "Hey, this could be a good gauge. Even though the Titans are a bad team, the Titans do some things that the Texans have struggled with." And then, boom. Oh, shot plays by the offense. Yep, there you go. By the Titans offense.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the defense susceptible to big plays. That, okay, got that. All right. Are you able to run the ball versus a team with a physically dominant defensive line? Not even close.
How back?
Not even close.
Yeah.
Lions, Vikings, the Texans have been able to do a single damn thing against them. All of Joe Mixon's powers are rendered moot or mute, whichever one's proper there.
Whichever one is the worst one, yeah, exactly.
Hey, you guys have gotten bitten by injuries before. Have you fixed that? Oh, sure, we got that. No, you don't have that fixed whatsoever. But then the weirdest thing is damn Kymie Fairbairn missing a 28-yard field goal on a day that he sets a record for, or ties a record for, 50-plus yard field goals.
Yep, for the season. Yeah.
Am I missing one of the obvious things? feel like I'm missing one. Oh, well, CJ just not being himself.
Well, and throw in penalties, too, because they had nine penalties in the second half of this football game, and none of them came at a time, it felt like at least, where the penalties were, you know, somewhat benign. Like, oh, okay, it's a false start at midfield. It's first and 15 at our own 45. Now, no. You got illegal blindside blocks on the last drive of the game, so you were starting at the 8 instead of the 27-yard line. You know, you were you were getting holding penalties. There's never a good time for a holding penalty, and this offensive line has holding penalties in it. Back-to-back false starts to turn a 3rd and 6 into a 3rd and 16 at midfield. You know, just think, you have a nice list. I'll throw the penalties in there with it as well. Like
the procedural stuff, and this is where it all comes back on Bobby Slowick. Look, whenever you're looking at something and it's really hard to define exactly what's wrong with it, hell yeah, blame the manager. You walk into a restaurant and everything's just a little bit off. Like, this is the worst Denny's I've ever been in. Fire the manager.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I can't take, Sean, I cannot take seeing another Nico Collins huge play
called back
for something damn procedural.
Right.
Including last week with Laremy Tunsil.
Yes.
Too far downfield. Simple. That's a detail. Fix that. Don't execute like a bunch of slack-jawed idiots out there. You get another Nico Collins back because of illegal motion, two men in motion.
Yeah.
All this idiotic, inane stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to lose. You're going to lose versus the Titans. You're going to lose. Oh, okay,
lose to the Jags on Sunday if you do this stuff on the road.
Hey, what's this team going to do in their playoffs? Do you think they'll run up against a team that has good defensive linemen at some point? Hey, do you think they might run up against a team that can kill you with shot plays offensively? Where in the playoffs are they going to face a quarterback as good as Will Levis? You know, so 100%. We wondered, okay, how much could you actually learn from a game versus the Titans? We learned a lot. Yeah, they are not ready for primetime.
We did.
They are regressing and getting worse as the season goes along. They've lost 4 of their last 6 games.
Yep.
They're not a good football team.
They're not. They're not. And here is the biggest concern for me. This is by far the biggest concern, is that the two biggest beacons of hope for this franchise starting last season in training camp were DeMeco Ryans as the head coach and CJ Stroud as the quarterback. And both and DeMeco asked us to put it on him in that cut we played in coming in. They are both showing serious flaws right now. I'll start with DeMeco, and this is a big one. I have serious questions right now. There's a lot that comes with DeMeco Ryans that's really, really good. And a lot of it we don't see on a day-to-day basis because it's the rejuvenation of the building and the franchise as a whole. And I acknowledge that those things are important. I think that energy is a lot of what fueled you to getting to 10-7 last year with a very young football team. I acknowledge that that is important, and it will be important moving forward. And this is not me bailing on DeMeco Ryans. But I have serious questions. The things you're talking about, Seth, the list that you had are systemic things that have reared their heads all year long, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And the solution has been to continue to trot out the same thing every week, the same scheme, the same methodology, the same mentality, the same guys every single week. I have serious questions as to whether DeMeco Ryans is what I'll call a wartime consigliere. You see the movie The Godfather, and remember they fired Tom, the lawyer who was the consigliere to Vito Corleone, because, hey, man, you're a great consigliere when times are good and business is booming. But when things are going a little sideways and you need a little bit more meanness, a little more gumption, a little more got to make some changes here, you're not the right guy. And I'm not saying fire DeMeco Ryans, but what I am saying is there are questions right now as to whether or not he's the right kind of head coach to solve these serious problems that they have right now, because there have not been any solutions yet. The only change that's been made is because C.J. Stroud landed on top of Kenyon Green on a play that Kenyon Green screwed up. Other than that, it's the same stuff on the offensive side of the ball. People can point the finger at Bobby Slowick. This is DeMeco Ryans' problem too, and it might even be a bigger DeMeco Ryans' problem now. That's my question. Like, dude, this is the first serious thing you've had to fix with this team since you got... Last year was a honeymoon. Stuff could go wrong and we didn't care. People care this year. And I think you're doing a pretty good job as a defensive coordinator. Big plays allowed notwithstanding. By and large, this defense has been very good. The offense has not, and the offense is getting worse. And that goes to the second thing. C.J. Stroud is getting worse. On your watch, the rookie of the year was outplayed by Will Levis yesterday.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable.
It wasn't particularly close. You know, CJ's interceptions over the last CJ's interceptions over the last few weeks have been decidedly non-rookie CJ Stroud interceptions. I think they're ones that he wouldn't have thrown in his rookie season. Yeah, this is it's spiraling quickly. The only good thing that I heard once yesterday was when Jimmy Ward was on the post game with you and Clint, and he said, "Hey," and Jimmy's about as honest as it gets. I mean, he was very open about his own bad play early in the game, but just that there's no chatter from guys, you know, whining about this, whining about that, at least not that he's heard. So, like, the core DNA of the team, it's not like it's a bad team full of bad dudes, but they have severe underperformances offensively right now, and none of it's getting better.
No.
And the problem is, when you look at the offensive linemen individually, one by one, there are plenty of good teams that have that have average offensive linemen out there, but who aren't just so routinely getting eviscerated and or making idiotic plays that make it. And they're just, they've shown no, okay, you're not a big physical offensive line, then you've got to show some level of expertise and scrappiness or what have you in developing an outside zone run game. They do nothing.
This was, of all the things D'Amico said in the post game, I thought he had some good things to say. This one was not one of them. This was not his finest moment as the head coach of this team. Sorry about that. That was not my finest moment as a host. This was not D'Amico's finest moment. He put the loss on the defense yesterday.
The concern for me is we need to play complementary football, right? We play complementary football, we win games. When we don't, we're not relying on one side, right, to carry the entire team. So whatever happens, our offense gave us enough points to win the game. So that starts with the defense. We didn't do enough to stop them. We didn't stop the run, and we didn't run the ball well. And we gave up way too many points on defense. So our offense did plenty. They gave us enough points. And defense, we have to be able to stop them.
I was shocked by that. I was shocked.
The offense gave you 20 points.
I was shocked. The offense gave you 20 points. They didn't give you 27. The defense gave you 7 of those. They gave you 20 points. I was shocked. You don't have to point fingers at one side or the other. Like, you can say that both sides, because the defense did some good things. But yes, ultimately, those back-breaking huge plays count for the defense. I totally understand. Complementary football can be bad complementary football, too. It can be a thing where all sides have failed, including special teams, by the way. Kymie Fairbairn, last I checked, is a specialist. He shanked a 28-yard field goal. The offense got gifted 10 points, but they got gifted 7 points by Jimmy Ward on a pick six. As far as the points the offense actually scored, they had a one-play drive in the first 15 seconds of the game, thanks to Damian Pierce on an 80-yard kickoff return. And then they got gifted a possession on a muffed punt where they managed 4 plays for 7 yards and kicked a 54-yard field goal. Like, that's half the points they scored. They had a 78-yard drive for a touchdown. Other than that,
In the first half, perchance?
It was in the first half, Seth.
Yeah, that's when it happened.
I promise you, it's not in the second half of any of these games. Other than that, the longest drive they had was a 55-yard drive for a field goal. Like, that's
I'll tell you another one. How do you
point the finger at the defense as opposed to the offense?
Especially when, my God, is there anything worse than a Texans takeaway on defense these days? Because you can just dial up 3 points at best
out of
the offense.
Right.
Like, oh boy, here we go. We're going to have a 6-play, 9-yard drive somehow because at some point an offensive lineman's going to get penalized.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the most frustrating and infuriating one, this goes on Bobby Slowick and D'Amico, is just simply that 4th and short on your own 40, decide whether to go for it or not. CJ's looking to the sideline for a call.
Yeah.
Instead, you roll
it's a
out.
Clown operation.
You bring the punt team out there, and they take a delay of game.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
It's a clown
operation. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. It's yesterday. Yesterday was a clown operation on every level. You lost to the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis at home, and Will Levis pieced you. So yeah, I'm not sitting here saying no. It's not. It was the offense, not the defense. It was both.
It was both. Right. The defense. I mean, how many times As Cody Stutes pointed out this yesterday, like, you're getting to the point now where historically how many teams have been this weird? You've lost a game where you had five interceptions on defense and still managed to lose that. You have eight sacks yesterday. Eight sacks yesterday and yet got pieced by the guy who had gotten sacked eight times. Right. Will Levis started off. What was the streak? 11 for 11? Did it go beyond that?
I can't even remember. He was 9 for 9 and 11 for 12 at points that I looked at the box score. Yeah, he was 11 for 12 at halftime. So, when he wasn't getting sacked, he was completing big chunk plays down the field. It was one or the other. All right, we got a lot to get to. You mentioned Jimmy Ward, Seth. I want to get to that. Jimmy Ward, we had our best post-game show interview yesterday, I thought. Jimmy Ward was brutally honest with something that we've been pointing out about this team. We've been told, hey, man, win's a win. Win's a win. Jimmy Ward was brutally honest in the postgame show yesterday, I thought, about how this team has handled their business this year. And will it change? We'll hear from Texan safety Jimmy Ward coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of people weighing in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. We'll get to some of your thoughts in just a second. But everybody,
are people happy?
Everybody's very frustrated right now. Someone said, all caps, clown operation, perfectly said. They were yesterday. They've been a clown operation the whole time. Don't get it twisted. But yesterday, that was a clown operation on all sides, on all facets of the game yesterday.
You let Amy Adams Strunk come in and basically say, oh, we own this now,
yeah,
too.
Man, that was I haven't even thought about that. Yes, they did. Jimmy Ward was on the post-game
show. She slept in the Astrodome the night before.
She did, for old time's sake. Jimmy Ward was on the post-game show yesterday, and I got him scheduled for the post-game show after he got the pick six. You know, I was excited. I thought, all right, this is where it turns. They put these guys away. They're going to wither the better team. You needed a play from the defense. They got a field goal to actually go up 27-23. And now I'm like, all right, yeah, you just got to keep them out of the end zone. Just don't, if you don't give up any big 60-yard plays, you keep them out of the end zone. Literally 5 seconds after I said that, Okonkwo, or whatever his name is, tight end goes 70 yards for a touchdown.
I was listening. I was kind of, it was a hodgepodge of watching on TV and listening on the radio yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was exactly I missed that play. I had stepped back out from the bathroom, and I hear Andre just flipping the hell out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What possibly could have happened that was so... Oh, that. Yeah, that's
what
pretty
happened.
Bad. Yep. That's pretty bad. Henry Toto'o gets sucked up on the play action, as the Texans defenders tend to do.
Yeah.
Then the tight end catches the ball, and you know, there were a few Texans threw their bodies in that general direction, but generally uncontested into the end zone.
Yep. So Jimmy Ward, as soon as he got that pick six, I text Omar, who heads up PR for the Texans. I'm like, Jimmy's our guy. Let's get him on the post game. Yeah. And then the Texans lose. And in some ways, I was even more glad we got Jimmy Ward on the post game, because after a loss, you just never know with a player. Jimmy Ward, I knew we were going to get some unvarnished opinion on where this team is at right now. You know, he's honest to a fault, I would say, in interviews. And he did not disappoint. Here was Jimmy Ward wondering why the team plays and yesterday played down to its level of competition?
Starts from the top. Starts from captains. Starts from the vets. We gotta play good. First of all, we gotta play good, and then we gotta start calling people out. We gotta have our. That's just how it goes. We gotta have our own only players meeting. We had a few of those already. Probably gonna have to have another one, and just, you know, try to see what's going on, man. Like, we can't. I feel like. I don't like to say this, but we I feel like we play down to our competition at times. Like, throughout this year, when I've been looking at it, it's like, I don't know what it is. We've just been taking some of these guys lightly, especially in the first half. Well, no, not take that back. It was the second half slump that we was doing over the last few weeks. But this week, it's like we woke up and it was the second half. Like, we can't do that. That's losing football.
Okay, so, I mean, he's saying something. When he said that, in my mind, I'm going, oh, you don't say. That game they played yesterday is the same game they've been playing for a year and a half now. It just happened to fall the other way this time, you know?
Yeah, you know what, Sean? I mean, in a lot of respects, we talked earlier about how, okay, this team clearly isn't ready for prime time, in that when you get to the playoffs, hey, you're going to face a team that has good defensive linemen, right, at some point.
Right.
Hey, you're going to face a quarterback that's better than Will Levis at some point. Like, these are the things you're not prepared for. And I think really the two biggest non-swarm performances that jump into my mind, if you had to ask me right now, yeah, as Jimmy Ward was talking, were the Jets game, where you showed up and weren't swarm-like in the second half. The offense was never swarm-like the entire game.
Yeah.
Or this game, where the defense shows up and they're incredibly non-swarm-like in the first half and then in doses in the second half. Okay, are you ready for prime time? Well, it seems like on a short week, y'all suck. Like, yo, a Thursday night game, we can't possibly play the Jets after only 4 days rest.
Yeah, and this was a short week,
then, okay,
too. Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me, and I was disgusted by it, because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, they can't possibly just be looking like this because they're kind of out of sorts after a short week because of a Monday night game at home, right? That can't possibly be it.
Yeah.
And then that's what it looked like. So it's just, you add it to the list of things that this team's not ready for, and they're clearly not ready for prime time, playoff, et cetera, action.
Yep, no question. Here's one more from Jimmy Ward. Why, I asked him, I think we got the question in here with this, why does the foot come off the gas pedal with you guys?
Can you take us down onto the sideline at all, or inside the huddle at all, as to why sometimes the foot comes off the gas pedal a little bit maybe, and these games end up being a little closer than they should be?
I really have no clue why, mm-hmm, why we get comfortable and why we take our foot off the gas. Maybe we probably feel like a team is going to quit. Like, for me, I don't stop. I don't necessarily. I know it's a four quarter game, so I can't speak on the team, and that's the thing that we got to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, we got to figure out, like, how can we play four quarters and finish a game?
The only thing I have to go on is what I observe the head coach say and what I see on the field. I'm not in the locker room. I've never been in the locker room, you know, like during the week. You're a former player. So I'm coming at this from the angle of somebody who is a fan of the team, a big fan of the team, somebody who has, you know, like D'Amico, I've been in management positions before, having to get into the psyche of your people and things like that. All I see is a head coach who talks about how close these games are and how it comes down to a play here and a play there, comes down to a fourth quarter. You got to finish. These games are all close. It's an 8-8 league. It's hard to win in this league, all these things. And I feel like sometimes if that's what you say all the time, you speak things like this into existence. When you're not talking about dominating, and maybe they are behind the scenes, that's why I concede I'm only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
But man, this D'Amico Ryan sure talks about a guy that the goal is just to be hanging in there in the fourth quarter, and then we got to go finish and make plays. And I don't know, man, they play like a team whose head coach says we want to be in there in the fourth. They games that they're up 20-3 on the Bills, I look at it, I go, well, this is going to be a close game in the fourth quarter, because I feel like they've had it drilled into their heads how close all these games are in the NFL in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's tough. Because this game, let's say Kaimi Fairbairn pulls off the impossible and makes a 28-yard field goal.
Let's say
he pulls off the impossible.
30-30.
Miracles do happen. Yeah, that and it's a tie game, and then who knows what happens after that. I think we'd be having the same conversations after this,
I agree.
Right?
Yep.
Because we've been having them all season long.
Yes.
After wins that just, yes, that whatever, you want to call it killer instinct, put your foot. This is the problem. They lack, they have the potential to do that defensively. They don't always live up to it, but they have the potential. They do not have that potential offensively.
No.
They are just simply not a good offense. They haven't been. CJ's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league over the last six games.
Yep.
Like, they're not a good offense. So I don't know. I'm torn. I feel like, yes, there is a huge, not even a kernel, but a large nugget of truth given that the mentality and that part of it. But I don't know what you would do with that mentality.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like you're walking around with a big old Colt 45, but no ammunition.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, look at me.
Yep.
I got a big swagger and like, oh, don't hit me. That's what the offense is right now. They're boys. It's boys versus men. You know?
Yeah.
That offensive line, they are little boys out there thrown into a frat party time in their life. Yeah, the Titans defensive line was basically forcing them to chug beer all afternoon.
They're bad.
And now they've got alcohol poisoning in the hospital.
They're bad.
Okay?
They're bad. And you know what? Stop interviewing Titus Howard after these games. Just stop interviewing.
What did he say?
It's not like he just said, we got to figure out who we want to be over these next few weeks. Like, oh, okay, now you got to do that. All right.
I didn't realize you were having an existential crisis.
We got to figure out who we want to be. I don't need to hear from the people who are completely failing at their jobs talk about, like, we got to figure out who we got to be. You know, the guy who said they let the Jets game slip away. Like, it's just, I just don't, after a game like that, I just don't need to hear from him. I guess I can choose not to hit play.
That's
on the video, but I just see the video and I'm like, oh, I'm watching the replay of him trying to hand fight with Jeffrey Simmons or whoever was rushing from the outside. And he looks like a little kid trying to swat flies. You know?
I'll go back to what I said at the beginning, which is that it drives me insane when a team loses and it's so easy for somebody to say, well, what did you expect to happen? Because everything I did, I did a little preview video since yesterday. I was just I barely knew that I was on planet Earth, but I put out like a 3-minute preview video. The video was almost dead on accurate, except that every single thing that I basically was saying, hey, the Texans need to do this, the Texans didn't do it.
Yeah.
And it starts with those interior defensive line. I thought, all right, Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat are a big headache and a big problem. Can you just adequately handle these guys? You don't have to beat them or dominate them or anything. Can you just look adequate versus them? And no, clearly they could not.
They could not.
I was foolish to even entertain it as a notion. I was just like, I'm as dumb could be, because it was like I had placed money on the sun not rising this morning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, that's somehow this absolute certainty, the Texans offensive line getting destroyed by Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, somehow wasn't going to happen.
Right, right. They were literally, the Texans, literally up 7-0 18 seconds into the game. I mean, they spotted you. They spotted you a 7-point lead that the Titans
so,
did. Like,
the
you
Texans
literally
are
started
so good in the first 3 plays of a game.
Yeah.
Going back to last year versus Indy.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Well, and Nico, my God, how many times are we going to? It's a crime.
Yeah.
It's a crime what they're doing to Nico.
The penalties you're talking about?
You just keep negating these huge Nico plays with idiotic penalties, procedural crap.
It's bad. They were up 7-0 18 seconds into the game. By the 11-minute mark of the second quarter, they're down 17-7. It's just, it's maddening.
Jimmy Ward, to his credit, addressed, brought it up unprompted, the big play that he let up early on.
He did. Yep.
Where he got pretty technical, but basically, he admitted he should have been driving to the post because he's not going to be able to keep up with that. That's not a physical issue. And I know, like, people get upset when they see, oh, why is the safety on this guy? Well, he's not manned up on him, but he should have anticipated the post coming over. And he talked about how it was good. Brandy loves Jimmy now because, like, right before that, I'd been talking about the difference between veteran players and young players is identifying the greatest threat. And Jimmy screwed up there. He didn't identify. He should have really realized, okay, that's my biggest threat right there. I got to drive to the post.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it. But there were other times in the game where the defensive line is the defensive tackles. There's times in that game with some of those traps, the trap for the touchdown. I was talking to Brandy during the game about that, about, like, you see, these guys they're not identifying the greatest threat.
Yep.
And the defensive line is getting crushed on some of these plays where, yes, you are an upfield aggressive defense. There's a few little checks and balances to that. You got it. When you're a team where the defensive linemen just get upfield as fast as possible, there's a few little key indicators where you got to throttle it down a little bit. And these guys are blazingly unaware in those situations, yeah. And the Titans were able to take advantage of it.
Big time, big time. Text message.
Brazenly and blazingly.
5-hour energy fan line. If the Ravens lose tonight, all the teams who haven't had a bye week yet will be 7-5, besides the Colts, who are 5-7. Maybe fatigue is catching up with these teams. I don't want to make excuses for the Texans. I don't think the lack of a bye week yet is the reason why you don't know whether or not you want to punt or go for it on fourth down. I don't think it's the reason why you give up big chunk plays. I will say, in terms of maybe just the general wear and tear on the team, this week 14 bye week is for the birds. We need to get back next year to where the bye week is like week 7 or 8. You know what I mean?
I was a big bye week denier.
Yeah.
I did not want to acknowledge that it had anything to do with anything. I believed my own propaganda too long, and it's blown up in my face.
Yeah, it's a good text. It's not why they lost yesterday, but it's not something I want to experience again. Text message, 5-hour energy fan line. The Texans will finish 8-9. CJ's brain is fried. Management was slow to act in making O-line changes, specifically Kendrick Green. I think they mean Kenyon right there. And it cost us our second pick in the draft.
Kenyon, Kendrick, Juice Scruggs, whatever it might be. Your left guards have been garbage.
Garbage.
You know, just absolute garbage. It's just it's unbelievable. This is the thing about the whole energy thing. You know what? This is the thing. It can be an explanation, but it's certainly not an excuse because of the same short week thing that we were talking about before. You know what? This is what's so un-D'Amico Ryan's like about this team. Okay, you've got a short week. It's a Thursday night game. Oh, it's a short week. You had a Monday night game. Oh, the bye week is late. So what do? You just give into it. You just give into it. And this is where, everybody, indulge me in being a grumpy old man a little bit. And I'll tell you, this is a sentiment that's also shared by some young people. When you're a team that jumps deep into the sports science, the rest and recovery, the GPS tells us this guy needs a break. Ooh, we're going to wait an extra week to let this guy come back. It invites softness into your organization. It invites softness. There's a certain hardness and toughness that comes from fighting through crap. This team's pointing to their damn GPS monitors. They might as well be. Oh, my legs don't feel ideal. My legs are not. Oh, they're not what they should. I feel they should be. Oh, maybe. Throw the damn GPS monitors and the sports. At least half your sports scientists are too soft. Throw them out of the building. Kick them out. It's soft. This is a soft football team right now. Yeah. They are soft.
Yes.
As a team, they're soft. Your field goal kicker is soft. You can't make a 28-yard field goal?
That is a great take on the GPS and the sports science. That is phenomenal.
GPS screwed me twice this weekend. Once in a complicated interstate exchange and another time in the football game
on
Sunday.
You're just a soft driver. I mean, that's the problem. You're soft. All right, let's get to headlines. I think we know how things went with the Texans yesterday. We'll get to the rest of the NFL. A little bit of Astros news, a little Rockets, a little college. We'll get to all of it coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get
41 seconds to go. Levis approaches the line of scrimmage, takes the snap, takes the knee. It is over. The Houston Texans get upset by the Tennessee Titans, 32-27, squandering opportunity after opportunity and seeing their record drop to 7-5 with another division matchup with Jacksonville on the road coming up.
Yeah. Texans got upset. Now we're getting upset this morning. Different kind of upset. But, Texans lose yesterday, 32-27 to the Tennessee Titans. And as Seth pointed out earlier, all the things that you expected to happen if the Titans were to win this game all happened.
They beat them exactly the way you would have expected them to beat them.
Exactly, yes.
Yep. That's the most frustrating thing.
You can see it coming. Here comes
they showed.
Hey, you know how I might die by standing in the middle of the road? A truck running me over. Look, here comes a truck. Oh.
Yeah. You know what? I drive home drunk every single night, and I haven't been in an accident yet.
Right.
Well, at some point, you're going to get in an accident.
Yeah. Yesterday was the accident.
They drove right into the median yesterday.
They did. And so big chunk plays couldn't contain the interior of the Titans' defensive line, committed a boatload of stupid penalties, and the biggest thing, the biggest epidemic with this team is its inability to generate any offense in the second half of games. It happened again yesterday. Right now, as of the last two games, the loss to Tennessee and the win over the Cowboys, the defense has outscored the offense in the second half of games 14-13. With the Derek Barnett scoop and score last week and the Jimmy Ward pick six this week, the offense has only generated 13 points. Here was C.J. Stroud yesterday following the game on the team's struggles in the second half.
You can point a lot of places, but I always point at myself. You know, I'm the leader of the offense. I got to get us rolling, get our rhythm, you know, and, you know, we got to find a better way to end the first half better, start the second half better. And, you know, that's ultimately starts with me and, you know, taking care of the football and, you know, getting into a rhythm, running the ball well, getting us into the right reads, the right looks. So, yeah, I would just say that's why. I mean, that's how we're going to get better. It's just I got to be better.
Yeah, he does. He knows it. CJ's accountable for it. We'll go through CJ's day at the top of the hour. It was definitely a tale of two afternoons for CJ Stroud. It felt like that first interception he threw right at the end of the half was like a pin that just popped a balloon for him. And he was not good the rest of the day after that. But, yeah, that I think, Seth, you nailed it. That the frustrating thing about this is it's like if you ask the question, why did you lose? You lost because of all the things that everybody was listing all week long as to these are the only ways you can lose to this Titans team.
Including the whatever the hell is going on with C.J. Stroud. I mean, that's probably the most curious and unexpected one. A lot of these issues on the team right now, you could have pointed to as things that we talked about in the offseason, things that we talked about during training camp. I was growing increasingly just terrified of what the offensive line was going to look like as training camp went along. And people would make excuses. The O-line propaganda machine was all revved up about how, no, these are no big deals, all that. But CJ missing easy throws, CJ making decisions that he didn't make last year, all of that. And CJ being in a funk that's above and beyond just, hey, it's a product of all the bad stuff going around him. There's just too many times in these last few weeks where the protection is there, the receiver is open, the ball is thrown poorly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can't... Yes, he's taken a lot of punishment over the course of the season and everything. At a certain point, though, you don't make excuses for the quarterback.
No.
That's why they're the highest paid guys out there. That's why it's so hard to find good ones, because you don't make excuses for them. They're supposed to be unwavering in certain things, and CJ has wavered in a lot.
Yeah, he's wavered, and I think the biggest thing for me, well, we'll talk more about CJ at 7 o'clock. We'll go through his afternoon yesterday. Around the NFL, look, if you're still a Texans fan who's counting on getting to the postseason, wasn't all bad yesterday. The Colts did lose to the Detroit Lions 24-6, so the Colts right now still remain two games back of the Texans. The Colts' schedule is significantly easier than the Texans' schedule the rest of the way. I mean, that Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens trifecta over 11 days, after the day after losing to the Titans at home, I mean, that looks like you may as well be playing 11 on 15, it feels like, over the course of those three games. Like, it's, whew. I mean, you got to get through Jacksonville first, but the Colts lose to the Lions yesterday, so that went according to script, so that was good. Miami, who we just mentioned, that game has been, I said this past week, Seth, like, the Miami game has felt like it's been kind of forgotten over the, you know, as you look ahead at the rest of the schedule, like, got these division games, and oh yeah, that's right, you got the Chiefs and the Ravens in a four-day period. When they come back from the bye week, they play a Miami team that's starting to look like the Miami team a lot of people thought they were going to be this year with Tua back now. Tua had four touchdown passes yesterday. They beat the New England Patriots. I believe they're 5-6 now. Like, they've put themselves back into the swamp of teams that still have a reason to try the rest of the year.
No, and I think this is, again, where we, you know, we talked earlier about this team on short weeks just looks like they come out complete. They look like they're coming out on a short week ready for a Friday practice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, isn't this normally when we would have a Saturday walkthrough today?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go out and treat it like a Saturday walkthrough. So when you come up on not just a short week, but an incredibly short 12-day period,
yeah,
where you're going to face several of the best teams in the league, you better figure that out sometime in the next month.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's
it's like,
right.
Oh, you're a little tired, your legs feel a little dead. Yeah, just go out there and play.
That's
jackasses.
It's a great point. The Chiefs and the Ravens games, both short weeks. You come out of the bye week for the Dolphins, so at least you get extra time for that. But it's a 6-day week for the Chiefs and a 4-day week for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Headlines.
So we'll keep moving. Dallas beats Washington. Yes, Washington's starting to get exposed a little bit here. Dallas gets a win. Hey, maybe Micah was right. Maybe Micah Parsons was right. Hey, we're a damn good football team. Went into Washington and beat the Commanders yesterday.
The Cliff Kingsbury cliff that his offenses fall off. Look, the Cliff, I think he's probably best suited to be a high school coach, really. You need to, because he's only good for so many games, and then his offense falls apart. So he needs a shorter schedule, yeah. Really. Or you bring him in halfway through the season.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you make him a 9-week OC, just like a part, you know, like a contractor.
He needs to just go around signing 1-year deals with teams that have struggling offense. Like the Texans,
just for the rest of the year. Oh yeah, yeah. Let's make a trade. The trade deadline doesn't apply to coaches, right? We can send Slowick to Washington for Kingsbury. We can do that. Right?
Yeah, all right, that's what we should do. We should spend. I think Slowick should come in and be your first quarter coordinator because, man, he does seem to be pretty good at dialing up shot plays in the first quarter.
Yeah,
and then everything is. But that's your highlight of the offensively is going to be somewhere in the first quarter. If it doesn't get called back because of a penalty,
that's right. Astros news: they offered contracts. They tendered offers to all of their arbitration. The all eight of their arbitration eligible players, including Framber Valdez and Kyle Tucker. So we'll see how that plays out now over the next couple of months. I think Astro fans hoping that there's an extension in the works for at least one of those two, if not both. College football, the new AP rankings are out after kind of a wild weekend of college football. Top five, Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. So three of the top four are Big Ten teams. As far as teams of interest, SMU up to ninth. In the AP poll, we'll see what the playoff poll looks like tomorrow night. Alabama falls to 13th. They got blown out by Oklahoma this weekend. A&M falls to 20th. They lost to Auburn in four overtimes, maybe looking ahead to Texas a little bit. Still, Aggies control their own destiny to get into the playoff. They beat UT and they win the SEC title game, and they will be one of the top four seeds. Colorado loses to Kansas over the weekend, so the dream of Dion in the college football playoff took a big hit this week. It's not dead, but it ain't looking good right now. So kind of a wild college football weekend. Rockets split with the Blazers.
Did you blame sports writers for that one?
No, actually, you know what? There's a video that popped up of him in the locker room with his team. This is where I give Dion credit. Yeah. You know, a lot of teams only show the victory speeches. With Dion, and this may be because he's got a camera crew following him around everywhere, he got into his team pretty good and said, y'all started believing all the press clippings this week.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing about Dion that fascinates me so much is that he is an old school coach in a lot of ways. You know, really like old school.
Yes.
And I think sometimes people confuse his embracing of all of the just like media side of things and hype side of things that they don't realize that, no, he is old school when it comes to. So like the intrigue about him is his ability in this new world of NIL and everything else and social media to be able to find the balance. Yeah. So it's fascinating. It's and you got to keep in perspective the fact that, the Colorado job was a bigger turnaround than I think anybody wanted to really give him credit for when they got off to the fast start. So than a lot of people wanted to give him credit for.
They were 1-11 the year that he got there. I mean, they were dead in the water. Dion's done way more positive for that program. I mean, he's been hugely positive for that. Now we'll see if he sticks around. Signed a big five-star over the weekend. He stole a recruit from USC, a five-star quarterback. So we'll see if he's sticking around there if the NFL comes calling. Rockets split with the Blazers in their two games this weekend. So the Rockets 12-6 right now, third in the Western Conference in Minnesota to take on the Timberwolves tonight. Up next, we'll go through CJ's day. The two sides of CJ Stroud through the voice of Mark Vandermeer will do that. We had a crazy caller to the postgame show that we'll get to as well. And we will acknowledge at about 7:20, 7:25-ish, we'll acknowledge big performances from over the weekend in a segment we call Acknowledge Me. We'll do that all coming up next as we head into the 7 o'clock hour.